done something a little different this morning as you came in and discovered that your chair was not where it was supposed to be. And we've built a service around this whole idea of remembrance, this whole idea of symbol, this whole idea that something can help us to remember something else. And Remembrance Day is a very special day that way. As we remember those who fought, if you're my generation, my dad, Don's dad, in the Air Force during the war, and many of our parents were, perhaps younger, some of your grandparents. But as we gather, we're thinking of this whole idea of symbol, the symbol of the poppy, the symbol of Remembrance Day in itself. And according to my dictionary, a symbol is something that represents or recalls something else by having analogous qualities. That made perfect sense, didn't it? Yeah. It reminds us of something else because it has something in common. And we have symbols all through our lives. We have symbols that we use because not everybody can speak English, and so you don't want to just put men and women on the door. My mother went out to South Africa as a missionary 1,000 years ago, and she spoke German but not Afrikaans. And Afrikaans has some Dutch in it, but it also has French in it. And when she got there, it was still the time of apartheid, and the washrooms were segregated. And one of them was labeled Blanc, which a Canadian would probably figure out. But Mom didn't have that understanding, and so she figured she wasn't a blank, and so she went in the other one. And in the South Africa of her day, wasn't a great thing to do. But we've moved away from that, so we've moved to these. And we're going to get a few of the bottom right-hand ones for the church there, you know, the one that says no weapons. I'm going to put that outside our office doors. But we have these symbols. I was trying to figure out what Stevens, what's the symbol on your jacket? Okay, so a representation of the battles fought in the Canadian military. Didn't you just love those two guys up here in their suits? And then I come up looking like, you know, the only thing they teach you in preacher school is you should dress better than the youth pastor. And hard to keep up with our guy, so it's all good. So one of my friends said, you know, I don't have much fashion taste. I just figured if it doesn't itch, you know, that's pretty well. But this whole idea of symbols, the whole idea of what's there, companies spend millions of dollars on what we call logos, different symbols that you just take a look at some of those and you know what it is. Dawn was actually doing the sermon. I didn't realize this. We were talking independently, but she did this with the 3-year-olds and the 4-year-olds in the preschool this week. And she was doing a thing on symbols. And it's amazing. They can recognize symbols at 3. They know McDonald's. They know a couple of other ones. It's amazing the power of a symbol. And if you get the right logo, and companies will spend millions of dollars on this. I mean, BP, over its history, has had all kinds of logos. BP started out as Anglo-Persian Oil Company, became British Petroleum in the Anglo-Persian Oil Company in 1908, became British Petroleum in 1954, and then in 2001 just became BP. And it allows them to kind of play with that. You know, they do the Beyond Petroleum thing and they do some of the other stuff. And they went to a logo that tries to tell a different story about green and environmental. And if you go online after the big oil spill down in the States, there's a few other ones that I couldn't put up there for BP that other people have suggested might fit as well. But this whole idea of symbol, and this morning we have Remembrance Day, and so we have all these symbols. We have the wreath, we have the poppies. We pause on November the 11th at 11 a.m. because it was on November the 11th at 11 a.m. in 1918 that the armistice, the peace, was brought into effect in the First World War. And we wear the poppies because it was the poppies that grew wild between those crosses in Europe where so many are dead and buried. And you've seen those images of just field after field of white crosses with the poppies growing between them. And then that poem that Les so beautifully read for us from Flanders Fields has just cemented that whole thing into our heads, to the point where if you see a poppy, you immediately think Remembrance Day. And Remembrance Day hopefully opens up into other kinds of things. And I think that's the power of symbol. The power of symbol is the power to help us remember, but not just remember, it evokes a story. It evokes something bigger. It makes us realize that there's a story that goes with it. It gives us an emotion often that goes with it, and it gives us this memory that goes with it. And one of the things as we read our Bibles is we discover that God loved concrete symbols because he knew how bad most of our memories are. And every time God kind of did something in our lives, he said, now let me give you a way to remember that. And so in your notes, there's just a few of these there. And we're not going to spend much time on them, but I just want to try and help you remember what you're supposed to remember. God came and judged the earth in the days of Noah, and he sent this great flood, and it destroyed the world, and Noah was saved in the midst of that. And God said, there's going to be a rainbow. And whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. And God says, I will remember. And he says, you too remember. And so every time we see a rainbow, we remember God cares for us. He says, I'll never send a flood again that destroys the world. When he was giving the law to the people, he talked about just even in your clothing, you should have these tassels, these little strings that kind of hang down. And in Numbers, it says, throughout the generations to come, you're to make tassels on the corner of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. And you will have these tassels to look at so you'll remember all the commands of the Lord, that you must obey them and not prostitute yourself by chasing after the lusts of your own heart and eyes. And God says, I've come and I've rescued you from Egypt and I've made you my people and I've got this special relationship with you. So you need these tassels just to kind of remind yourself in a tangible way, as this guy does on the side of his stuff, that there's this memory of what God has done, and a memory that we're in this relationship with him, and therefore there's expectations. When God was leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land, they crossed the Jordan River. You remember the waters parted, they all walked across, and then came Jericho and the taking of the land. And God says, I want you to remember that I brought you into this land. When you've been here for 100 years or 1,000 years, you're going to say, well, we've always been here. But I want you to remember, God says, that I brought you in here. So when you go across that Jordan River, I want you to grab some stones. And in Joshua, in your notes there, Joshua called together the 12 men he'd appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. So he went and found the biggest steroid cases he could find, all the gym rats that had been working out for 40 years in the desert. And he said, go over before the ark of the Lord into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign. And in the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You tell them, the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial, a remembrance, a sign, a symbol to the people of Israel. A lot of years later, in the time of Esther, a guy by the name of Mordecai decided he wanted to wipe out all the Jews. Not the first guy to try it, not the last guy to try it, and about as successful as everybody else has been who's tried it. But Mordecai said, Haman, said, I'm going to destroy these. And Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, brought the word to her, and she put in a word with the emperor, and they were saved. And God says, we want to have this sign that God protected his people. And it's the Feast of Purim, which is one of the lesser feasts that we don't know much about, but is still observed today by Orthodox Jews. And God said at the end of that, these days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family in every province and every city. Did you catch a few everys in there? And these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews, and nor should the memory of them die out among their descendants. And even today, these are some of the signs of Purim that Jews would use. But probably the sign that we're the most familiar with this morning is that sign of Passover. It's one of the most powerful symbols in the Bible. Passover reminded the people that God had come and rescued them in their time of need. And every year in the spring, the Israelites stopped for a few days to go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And God had kind of said, this is what you're supposed to do, is to do this. And so I don't know if you caught the theme in all the songs we sang this morning, but it's all those songs about how God has done something significant in our lives. And it kind of points back to Passover. And here's what God said as a way to remember Passover. Sacrifice is the Passover to the Lord your God, an animal from your flock or herd. Usually it was a lamb. It didn't have to be, but usually. And it became more and more a lamb as time went on. Sacrifice a lamb at the place the Lord will choose, the dwelling for his name. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste. So that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. And that's that time you remember when Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he was having this contest with Pharaoh, about which was God stronger than Pharaoh, or was Pharaoh stronger than God? And God led them out. And that final, those 10 plagues, that final plague is when the eldest child in every house was killed. And Passover was a concrete way of remembering that God had done this. And though God came and saved them in Egypt, they had to do something back then. It's the next verses in your notes. When the people were in Egypt, it was just before they were going to go, with 9 plagues that happened, and Pharaoh was almost at the end of his patience, and the country was, and you know, he just would not quite let his people go. And God said, I'm going to come, and I'm going to kill the eldest son in every house. Except you are to take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where the Israelites eat the lambs. And on that same night I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But this blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see that blood, I will pass over you. And no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And every time God rescues his people, he says, now here's a way to remember that. Now here's a way to remember that. Because every time we get into trouble, we think, well, where's God? Is God going to rescue me, or is God not going to rescue me? And God says, I'm there. Remember the times throughout history where I have been there. And especially remember this story of how I came and I rescued you as a people out of slavery. Because that's a pattern of how God comes and rescues us out of the slavery of sin. And they celebrated Passover once a year, but God said, you know, I don't think that's enough. I don't think that once a year is enough. So he said, what I want you to do is I want you to have a burnt offering every morning and every evening. And it's going to be the same as the sin offering, the burnt offering. But if you lived in Jerusalem, every morning and every evening, this offering would be performed. And it's in your notes on the back there, that burnt offering. If the anointed priest sins, but also every day and every night, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he's committed. And he's to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. And he's to lay his hand on its head. And he's to slaughter it there before the Lord. And then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. And he's to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. And so every morning and every evening, if you walk past the temple and other times when people were bringing their sacrifices, what you would see is you would see them bring this bull out, a bull without any defect, so a bull that's healthy and perfect. And then the person who was seeking forgiveness or the priest that was doing the sacrifice morning and evening would lay his hand on the bull's head. And in that laying his hand on there would symbolically transfer his guilt to the animal. And then the animal would be killed and some of the blood would be taken. And they would go into the temple, and right before the holy place, in the holy place, right before the Holy of Holies, is this curtain. And they would sprinkle some of the blood there, because on the other side of the curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. And on the Ark of the Covenant, on the very top of that, is this gold kind of panel called the mercy seat. And it was a reminder that our sins are forgiven by someone else than ourselves. And I just kind of wonder, you know, we all know we sin, right? I mean, you know that. And maybe this morning before you came, you did a quick prayer and said, "Father, kind of forgive me. I'm coming to church. I just need to be clean so I can come into the doors." Maybe this morning you didn't do that. You just walked in and I just kind of wonder if every morning on your way to work you walked past the temple and you saw this priest lay his hand on the bull and you saw the bull being killed and you saw the meat being burned on the altar and you saw the blood being carried in to be sprinkled. I just kind of wonder, would that make you aware of sin in a different way? So I just kind of think that we know that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for us. And in his dying, we are forgiven. And all we have to do is come to God and say, "God, I confess I did that. And I know I shouldn't have. And I wish I hadn't have. And I just ask for your forgiveness. And I ask for your strength not to do it again." And we can be forgiven. And it becomes so easy that maybe we just don't see the seriousness of sin. And so God said, "I want to give you a symbol. I want to give you something that reminds you of the seriousness." And then Jesus, sort of knowing that we're not going to walk past the temple every day when we live in Canada, because there is only one temple and it's in Israel and it's not there anymore even. Even in Jesus' day, he knew the word was going to go out from Jerusalem and they weren't going to come back and they weren't going to see that. So he said, "You know what I want to do? I want to give you a symbol. Something you can do in your church or something you can do in your home. Something that symbolizes and reminds you of the seriousness of sin." And on that Passover, that year before he was killed, he celebrated communion, as we call it today, the Lord's Supper. The Last Supper, he celebrated that with his people. And he said, "Here's a way of symbolizing all of this burnt offering, all of this Passover lamb that was painted, the blood was painted on the doorways back in Egypt when God passed over your house when he was coming with the plague. It points back to the sin offering that was offered every day and every night. Points back to the cross where Jesus died for us, that we could be forgiven." And Jesus said, you just need a way to be able to remind yourselves of that. Something that triggers that emotion, something that tells that story, something that evokes that memory. And it's grown into communion. We're on that communion table most Sundays. On the first Sunday of the month, we will come and there will be elements and we'll hand them out and we'll eat the bread and we'll drink the little cup and we'll remember. And I just kind of felt this month, If you do a symbol too many times, it loses any power. And I just kind of felt this month, maybe we just need to pause and remember afresh. And so we moved it from last Sunday to this Sunday. And then we said, let's just mess with people's heads and let's move the chairs around. And so you walked in this morning and some of you are sitting somewhere new and you think you're in a different church because there's all kinds of different people that you didn't know attended here sitting beside you. And we're going to do something different this morning for communion because I think we get into the rhythm and then the rhythm becomes the routine and the routine becomes the rut. And suddenly we're doing something and, you know, all we're thinking about is, you know, if they were more efficient, they could get those trays passed out quicker and we could be home earlier. Okay, that's just me. But I just kind of think when we do something the same way every time, we lose something. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to explain it in a minute. But what Jesus did was he came and he gave us these elements. He gave us the bread and he gave us this cup. And it's in your notes there from 1 Corinthians. We read this almost every Sunday. I received from the Lord, this is Paul speaking, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, that's the Thursday night before Good Friday, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And this morning, we want to celebrate what Jesus told us to celebrate. And so we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Because I just think we need to be reminded of the story that we've been reminded of, that God's been at work from the beginning, you know, through the rainbow, through the standing stones, through the Purim, through the Passover, through the sacrificial system. It's all to remind us in some way that God loves us and God is at work in our lives. That we who have sinned and fallen away from God can come back to Him not by being good, not by working hard, not by earning our way back, but just by coming back and being forgiven. By just acknowledging our sinfulness and accepting the offer that God gives us of forgiveness, of a fresh start. And we're aware that that forgiveness and that fresh start comes because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Someone had to pay the penalty for our sin. And sacrifice for years through the Old Testament pointed forward to something, but it had to be repeated every day. It had to be repeated every time. And finally, once for all, Jesus came and died for us. And so this morning, I just want us to somehow acknowledge that. And I just had the feeling this month, and we'll go back to the traditional way, but this month, it's too easy just to sit in the pews and just have this handed to us. And so I want to be sensitive to some of us that have physical things, but let me explain it, then I'll give you the out. What I would love us to do this morning is to come down the front and just walk past the cross. This is the cross representing Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. In the Old Testament, what they would do is they would put their hand on the head of the sacrifice and symbolically transfer their sin onto that animal. And I want us just to come past this and symbolically just lay our hand somewhere on the cross and just acknowledge that our sins have been transferred onto Jesus Christ. And then we have our small group. We'll be out the sides here. There'll be six different people with a cup and a bread. And I invite you just to keep walking past and to get the cup and the bread and then to go back to your seats. And then if you want to do it as a family or a couple or an individual or with the person next to you, however you want to do it, but just take that cup and that bread. And as you've kind of symbolically laid your hand, acknowledging that your sins have been transferred onto Christ, as you receive this element, reminding you that in his death we are forgiven. Our sins are completely forgiven. Then I invite you to eat and to drink. Now I realize some of the rows are long, so you're going to have to work that out. I realize some of you maybe struggle to mobility, and if it's just easier to go straight to the elements, that's fine. Or if there's someone beside you, maybe you could serve them and bring them back the elements. But this morning, I would love us just to come, and as we take communion together, to do it in a way that reminds us of the story in a fresh way. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. It was the bread of the Passover, pointing back to that lamb. And he said, after he'd given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken on the cross for you." And then after, he took the cup, and the cup was a symbol of the blood of the lamb. And he said, "This is no longer that symbol. It is now the symbol of my blood shed for you. For in the shedding of blood is the forgiveness of sins." In the same way, after supper, he took that cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." If you don't want to take communion this morning, I invite you just to stay where you are. If you'd like to take communion, I invite you to come, lay your hand on the cross, take some of the elements. If you want to just take the elements, that's fine too. But this morning, let's just pause for a moment or two as we remind ourselves of what it is that these symbols point to. Maybe come, and if you haven't taken that time this morning, just for a brief time of confession, and just reminder that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for you. He didn't come into the world to judge the world. He came into the world to save us. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite our servers to come and take their places. And then I invite you just to file past the cross and just lay your hand on as you come past. Receive the elements. And then I'll close with prayer. Don't have to wait to eat them. Just do it whenever it's right for you. Servers want to come. Father God, we thank you this morning for all the symbols that mean so much to us in life. So we've been reminded of poppies and Remembrance Day, remembering the sacrifice that was made for our freedom. Father, we just thank you this morning for the greater sacrifice that was made for our forgiveness. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, his willingness to die for us. We thank you for these symbols, this bread and this cup. And Father, we thank you that we can come this morning, that we can symbolically transfer all our sin onto your cross, that we can receive these elements as a sign and a token of our forgiveness. Thank you for this, Lord. We come now to receive afresh your grace and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, that wonderful cross that brings us forgiveness, your willingness to die for us that we may be forgiven. Father, it's such a wonderful thing when we first receive you and accept that offer of forgiveness. We're so overwhelmed by that so often. But Lord, after a number of years, we get kind of complacent in our lives. We forget that our sins still have that power that drove